Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm thrilled to have Tricia Zimmer Ferguson on the show today. Tricia is the president of Caldi's, Frothy Monkey, Honolulu Coffee, and Firepot Tea. Tricia,
Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me.
I am so excited to have you. And we have already talked, and we know that we're going to have to split this into two podcasts.
I think so. I mean, there's just so much to talk about. I'll start asking you questions. I mean, I've been an admirer of yours for so long, so I feel very honored to be here today. So thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. So let's jump in, because we've got a lot that I want to discuss today. So let's just talk a little bit, the quick version of how you grew up.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm from a small town similar to you, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Uh-huh. And, you know, I had a great upbringing. My dad was in a family business. My grandfather started the family business. They were in the radio business. So I think growing up in Cape and having that experience really just set the groundwork for where we are today in so many ways. And people will say, how did you get into coffee? And I say, well, we're kind of in the wake-up business. Radio, coffee, it all kind of goes hand in hand. You know, I was the oldest of three, so just had a great experience in Cape, really just growing up in the family business with my brother and sister, mom and dad, and, you know, seeing the good and the bad times.
Right,
and I think that's probably one of my biggest things. You know, when we look at our core values, openness is one of them, and I think understanding, like, I think my mom and dad did a really good job of instilling in us, like, there are good times, but there are bad times. And, you know, you all need to see that, because we have to prepare you
to deal with it,
to deal with life and whatever that is you all want to do. And kudos to them now that they were able to have that openness in the family. And there's good days and bad days of being an entrepreneur. So hats off to them for that. And so I try to think about that now as I am raising my family. Like, it's okay sometimes for the kids to see you not having a great day. But it's also how you pick yourself up from those times and show that resilience that I feel like is really important to their upbringing. So
I could not agree with you more. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, let's face it, life is full of challenges. It is.
It is.
But it's how you handle those challenges. So
Totally. That's
awesome that your mom and dad modeled that for you and didn't hide it, because that was the model, right?
Yeah,
this is how you get through it. This is how you do it.
And my mom even once said, you know, if we can raise you right, then we've been able to raise you with confidence and knowing that whatever happens to us, you all will be able to take care of this yourself. And so I really, you know, go back to so many of those things now, having our own business here and kind of continuing that family tradition of entrepreneurship now that we're in the third generation in a family business, working with my husband and my brother and my dad and my uncle and cousins. And so it's a lot of fun, though. So
that's neat.
Yeah.
That's neat. Well, we could probably do a whole podcast on
that.
Family businesses,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So now you graduated from Mizzou. Right?
Yep.
And I think maybe 3 years after you graduated, you started your career at Edward Jones,
yes,
correct?
Yes, correct.
But 3 years after you graduated is when you guys bought Caldi's.
Yeah.
And that just blows me away. You were, what, 24 years old?
I was young.
Did you know everything you needed to know?
No. Gosh, no. I'm not even close to knowing what I need to know. But,
yes,
you know, I look back to Mizzou, and I had a great experience there. there. I love my time there. And when I look back, I think one of my favorite memories of going to school there was I went to the business school. I always knew one day I wanted to do something in business. I didn't know what that was. I knew I wanted to own my own business one day, but I knew going to get education and knowledge first from a larger company was a good way to start. So during my time at Mizzou, one thing that I felt was always kind of missing from my time there was that real life experience. How can we get, you know, exposure to these other businesses? Right. I was lucky enough to have that in my background with our family business, but I saw there were plenty of other students. There's just so many options now that didn't maybe have that kind of exposure to seeing what it's like to work in a marketing company, or if you're going to become an accountant, what does that mean to do an audit? Or you want to get into finance and go work at Over Jones. So one of the programs I started at Mizzou is called the Plan Program, and this kind of comes full circle to what we're doing today, which is why I tell this story. Yeah. It stands for Planning, Learning, and Networking Your Future on the Job for a Day, and there's even a version of it that still exists today, which I'm very proud of. But really, we were connecting students at the business school with real-life professionals in St. Louis and Kansas City. Through that, I met some amazing business people that still continue to be mentors to me today by reaching out to them and saying, hey, Lisa, would you allow two Mizzou students to come in and see a little bit more about what you do? If it goes somewhere beyond that, great.
Great.
If not, at least we got these students some exposure to stuff that's outside of the classroom environment. I mention that now because continuing in this career and figuring out how we want to make a difference, we just started a special program at Mizzou, and we're getting ready to launch the first ever cafe experiential program with Caldi's Coffee, which means that students will actually be able to run a coffee bar in the business school, and they'll be in charge of the marketing, the sales, the operations, how to develop people, how to manage people. And we didn't have those opportunities when I was there necessarily, so to be able to kind of bring that full circle back to the university and where I graduated from is really inspiring for us. So I think it's really a platform we can launch in many other areas.
So it's kind of, is it piloting right now? I mean, have you already opened the cafe?
No, we are opening it at the end of September of this year. So as you said, we didn't know at the beginning that's what we wanted to do, but this has evolved and it's more than just coffee. You know, I always say we're in the people business more than anything. And really what coffee has done is it brings people together.
Together. Yeah, that's what I think of. When I think of Caldi's, I think of community. And when I'm at Caldi's, a lot of times I see the same people, you know, and it's community.
It's a ritual. It's a routine.
Yes. I know you guys have really focused on the experience.
On the experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, I always say it's one of those things. I love the retail business because that's how you kind of differentiate yourself. And if you're walking down through the grocery store aisle deciding whatever product it is you want, we just happen to be in the coffee business, you can pick Caldi's out and know that's an experience you've had. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's more meaningful.
I know that one of the things for you, Tricia, is that it's been really important. You spend a lot of time. You spend probably a fifth of your time, if not more, on hiring. And it's the people. You have to have the right team in place. So I know that you have a methodology that you subscribe to called GIFTS, and I'm assuming that that is your brand. I mean, that wasn't something you read somewhere. Yeah. Can you dive into that a little bit?
Sure. I think, you know, one of our things is as we're continuing to groom other leaders and being in a decentralized business where we have locations spread out and also just a lot of part-time team members, we have to continue to learn how to do a great job training our own team members how to recruit talent. It's important to any business, but important in our business when we are so decentralized. So we love acronyms in our family businesses. And so as we continue to coach and really train the next level leaders, we decided it would be more beneficial to come up with an acronym just to kind of help them remember, you know, what is it that we like about these people? What are those key things that we are really looking for when bringing talent onto the team? And this can be from a high level leader position all the way down to someone that's just wanting to work part-time in the cafes. And so we did a little brainstorming, and we do career fairs every week at the Roastery, which has been a great way to kind of keep a pipeline of great people.
That is good. And so you will bring the career fair to the Roastery.
Every week.
That's wonderful.
And so
that's
then
we're idea.
Always be recruiting is kind of our philosophy. So then we never put ourselves in this situation where, we're short five people at the Chesterfield Cafe. What's going to happen? So we're always trying to keep that pipeline pipeline going, and you never know when the next all-star is going to walk into the door. Mm-hmm. So we have it every week, and we also use it as a training tool, of course, for all of our next level leaders. So, hey, so-and-so, you're interested in maybe getting into leadership more. Why don't you come on down to the roastery and let's spend some time seeing how we recruit people at Coldies. So, yes, that is how the GIFTS, which is what you're referring to, came about, and that's our fancy acronym. It used to be GIFT, and then I added on a special S here recently.
I know. When you talk about the S. Yeah, yeah. But go ahead. What is GIFTS?
So when we're talking about someone and how they might be a good fit with our culture, we evaluate them based on the GIFTS. So the G stands for being goal-oriented, and again, something that you can obviously pick out in a resume, but also it comes through in an interview when you're having those discussions. Mm-hmm. The I stands for improvement oriented and kind of goes along with our core value of continual improvement. And then the F stands for fits within the culture, and how we've described our culture is really it's someone that fits within our core values, which we have another acronym for, Color FPH. And then T is having a track record of success. So no matter what background you came from, because we like to hire people with diverse backgrounds, that they've been able to demonstrate having a track record of success. And then last but not least, that is one of my favorites, is the sparkle. Because I truly feel like the sparkle is what ignites passion in people, and people that are passionate act, and I believe you can't train that. People are either passionate or they're not. So I've learned, you know, over time, the more passionate people we bring into the organization, it just creates this special place. And so we've kind of said, you don't sometimes have another chance to wow a guest coming into one of our stores. You've got to be able to do that within the first couple of minutes of being there. So we've really got to make sure we're recruiting people that are passionate about life and what they're doing and have a passion for what we're doing.
As you were saying that, I was thinking about that. And if they do have that sparkle, if they have that passion, it naturally flows out. And then the client, the customer, sees
feels it. Yes.
They feel it.
They feel
it. Do they not? And, and it's like it makes them want more.
For sure. You can feel when you walk into one of our stores. Is this a team that really has that core, you know, sense of being, and they're excited versus, uh-oh, we're having an off day. Where's the passion?
Right.
I think our guests can feel it. They've told me they can feel it. And so we added the sparkle as just another way to differentiate. And, you know, it's one of those things you kind of got to go through the process, and we all have to spend time there really defining what does the sparkle mean at Coldies. And so we've had a lot of fun with that acronym.
I bet you have. And
seeing people learn how important training and recruiting is to what we do is so important, because I can't make someone drink coffee and fall in love with it. They've got to be excited about what we're doing and be able to connect those dots, and we'll help them lay the groundwork for that.
Well, I'm thinking here, a few years ago, I had the opportunity to come to the roastery. And I remember being blown away. I had no idea just how intricate grading of coffee is. And I want you to talk a little bit about that. I was like, this is like wine. I had no idea.
It is.
And it's called cupping, right? Can you talk a little bit about that, Tricia?
Sure. You know, I think it's, you point out an interesting thing just where the industry has gone over the last 15 years. Because when we first got into this business, I can remember people walking in and they're like, oh, I'll take the light roast, I'll take the dark roast. That was how they knew coffee, right?
Right.
You get the light or the dark roast, and you were happy. And now we have people come in and they're like, oh, I'm so sorry that, you know, Nicaraguan coffee is out of season, but I can't wait for it to come back again, you know, da da da. Like they are so much more sophisticated. And so we've been able to be on this amazing evolution with where specialty coffee has gone over the last 15 years. And it's been amazing to see the changes. And so it's a lot harder to take a business that's been around for 25 years like ours and kind of bring people along that. But it's also been so rewarding, because I've always said, let's be the accessible place where people feel comfortable coming in, ordering anything from a vanilla latte to a single origin Ethiopian coffee, and we'll be happy to serve them whatever they want. What we've seen is people come in and then they get more interested. And they're like, well, what's that? Oh, I didn't know you could have a single origin espresso or a single origin coffee. And I didn't realize those coffees were changing. And so cupping actually was more of an internal thing we used at Coldies for a way to bring in coffee. And so we would always be tasting coffees every day anyway. Mm-hmm. And we thought, hey, wouldn't that be cool to share this experience, with others?
Right.
People go to wine tastings all the time. There's no reason why we can't do coffee tastings. And so Friday at 2 o'clock, we started bringing in groups to come in, take a tour of the roastery, to taste coffees, and to really start being able to get a sense for how is Caldi's deciding which coffee to bring in? How are you using these really amazing flavor descriptors? Like, it tastes a little grassy, it tastes a little earthy, it's a little fruity. And over time, people get really good at it and mm-hmm. really interested in it. So we started having a lot of fun with it.
It's fascinating. Yeah. If our listening audience, if no one has done that, I would highly encourage you to go. And I don't know how they would do that.
Yeah,
do
they just make a call, look on the website. It's online.
2 o'clock on Fridays.
2 o'clock on Fridays. Okay. Come down for a cupping. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back with Tricia. Let's face it, the future is mobile. There's a good chance that you are listening to this show right now on your phone. Have you explored how you can move your business mobile too? Our mobile apps team at Technology Partners makes it their mission to move our clients into the hands of their employees and customers and change their business processes to meet the demands of their users. Let's work together and build a dynamic mobile app for your team. Go to tpi.co/mobile apps and get the conversation started about how we can help you get your new application off the ground. So, Tricia, one of the things I want to talk about, I was so impacted by the fact that you guys, when you get a coffee bean from Costa Rica or you get a coffee bean from Rwanda or wherever the case may be, your people are helping the farmers figure out how to get the value of their bean up.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the quality up, so the value goes up, and then give back to the farmers.
It
they
is.
Get more money for, you know.
Yeah, and it's really how our industry is going to be sustainable going forward. Lisa, you bring up a great point, and something we're extremely passionate about, and I have to give so much credit to my brother for investing most of his whole career building these relationships with farmers all over the world. And so, you know, it stretches from all over where coffee is grown. So we do a lot of work with farmers in Africa, but also in Central and South America. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really proud of that. I think the interesting thing for everyone to know is that a lot of these places we've worked with now for 10 plus years, and some of these places, and I'm going to brag a little bit on Tyler for a minute.
Please do.
He's helped put on the map. You know, there's been a special farm in Eastern Africa where they started growing coffee. You know, they don't have access to roasting it, to tasting it, to really understanding what people here are wanting.
Right.
And so when we found this coffee, we were like, wow, this is amazing coffee. It scored extremely high. And guess what? The next year, you couldn't even get it because so many people started knowing about it. Tyler went back to this particular farm and they planted a tree in his honor. And so, you know, when you start hearing stories like that, it gives us goosebumps and it reminds us why we do what we do every day, because it's really improving lives through sustainable business. And that's what's sustainable in our industry. But you even take that a step further, and there's now people like a WashU graduate that wanted to go out and make a difference in Nicaragua and help train more people on the ground about farming and quality. And hey, if we just put a little bit more effort, we can get a little bit more money and start really reaching out to roasters like Caldi's and places that we know will help us year after year, even when the commodity prices are low, which is kind of the situation we're in right now. Mm-hmm. It's a really tough time for farmers and coffee, because commodity prices, that's how coffee is priced, are relatively low. So farmers that aren't getting that premium or that differential on that commodity pricing are questioning whether or not they should even be in the coffee business. So it's up to companies like ours right now more than ever to be supporting those farmers. And so people are like, well, do you have a contract? I go, no. This is how great of these relationships are. It's a handshake approach. So we protect them when times are mm-hmm. tough. But guess what? In 2011, mm-hmm. when coffee prices skyrocketed, we can't give our customers a huge price increase. They help protect us. So it's really a beautiful relationship in terms of how that works. And it's something we're really proud of, because we want those relationships. And now we've had them for 10 plus years. They're relying on us. And they have been able to make huge impacts in their community as a result of those relationships. And so I give so much credit to my brother and everyone in our coffee quality and roasting team down at Caldi's for really understanding what that future looks like and mm-hmm. continuing to utilize those relationships every day. And how cool is it to have a WashU graduate here that owns a coffee farm in Nicaragua where we can buy coffee every year and tell that story back to the students?
Yes.
So to me, it goes to all those stories that are so unique in every place where we source coffee. And I'm going on one of my first trips to Africa in November, which I'm so excited about, to go see a women's coffee co-op. And we're also doing a tea visit. And we're also going to be looking at working with a local university in Rwanda that specializes in women education, how we can even further our workings and what we do with them. But it's just, coffee is such a global thing. It's amazing to think how many amazing people we've met in this business. Mm-hmm. So over time.
It's more than coffee.
It's more than coffee.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'm so inspired just sitting here listening. I mean, truly, when you say you want to make a difference in the world, that's making a difference in the world.
Yeah.
When you are helping that farmer and yeah. you're going to help that whole community, it's just beautiful.
And we're just scratching the surface.
It's beautiful.
There's so much more I think we can mm-hmm. even do. And so that's why it's fun for us, because I truly believe that, yes, people want good coffee and now they have it more than ever before. People also want a connection. They want to understand what makes this coffee unique, what makes it different. So having those stories for us is so powerful because it gets us excited. And it reminds us about why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think it goes back to even today when we're, you know, recruiting team members or getting people involved and they find out what we're doing and they get passionate about it. I want to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
We're making a difference. I want to get on that train and figure out how we can impact global education, our important topics that are coming up in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
So
very good. Does that tie into the WOW? Because you were telling me about the WOW stories. Talk a little bit about that, Tricia.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we continue to look for ways to really just make those connections with all of our stakeholders in the coffee business, one thing that came to our attention really recently is we started hearing all these stories from team members across all the cafes about, oh, Tricia, do you remember so-and-so? Well, this happened, and so we did this, or we saw so-and-so, and we gave them this. And I go, oh, my word, this is amazing. These stories are so amazing. Why aren't we capturing these and sharing them? Because I'm just getting goosebumps listening to these. I was inspired by something that I went to a conference on at the Ritz-Carlton. And one thing I learned what they do is they share these WOW stories. And they do an amazing job of really digging in and understanding the whys, you know, by why are people here? You know, what makes them come back here? And capturing those mm-hmm. and documenting those. So if you are staying at one of their hotel properties in St. Louis, how can they make that connection when you go to Phoenix next week on a work trip? And so we were inspired to try doing what we call to capture that
mm-hmm.
and do what we call the goat lineups at our stores now. So we're just launching the program. And so every day the team gets together and they, you know, they communicate about what's going on. It also gives us a great platform for just basic communication. We also cover our core values. So it's not something they just see on the wall every day and talk about what it means to us as a team. But we also take it a step further and share a WOW story. And so they can be as little mm-hmm. as making somebody's day to, hey, so-and-so was in the hospital and we took them their favorite latte. And that really happens. And so it's been just so inspiring because I do think people come to work at Caldi's because they love great coffee, but it's also because they love serving people. And
right.
so figuring out how to bridge that gap and now collecting some of those WOW stories has been really inspiring.
Very good. I absolutely love that. So let's talk. I want to give you an opportunity because St. Louisans know Caldi's, but you guys own a lot of different brands and are involved in a lot of different things. So can you talk a little bit about some of those brands?
Sure. Well, you know, again, getting back to coffee and connections with people, we met a gentleman and he ended up hooking us up with an owner that had a coffee company in Hawaii back in 2008 that was ready to get out of the business. So we said, hey, why not? And without even going to Hawaii,
I think was very bold, by the way.
Bought a coffee company. I mean, I can picture what it looked like, of course. And knew, again, if we could make those connections with people there, probably more so than anywhere in the world, people go to Hawaii and there's an affinity for Kona coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Kona is the only place in the world it is grown, you know, on the Big Island of Hawaii in the Kona area. So there's high demand, there's low supply. Also, it's the only place in the United States where coffee is grown. So it gave us the ability to have a farm, which was really a cool experience. But then just to share that with people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I say one of those unique things about having a coffee business in Hawaii is you truly sometimes have 7 days to make an impact on your guests because every 7 days they're changing.
Right.
And for most of these people, this is a bucket list item for them to go to Hawaii once in their life and have the experience of a lifetime. So if we can play to part of that experience, then that's really cool to be a part of that. You know, back in St. Louis, we've got amazing guests that come in every day for hopefully their whole lives. But in Hawaii, you're making an impact in 7 days. So how do we get them inspired to get them to come in on day one and then to keep coming back, but then to have that connection to Kona and sell Kona coffee? And so that's been something different for us to have. But one of the cool stories I share about that is we had the opportunity to partner and have a franchise in Japan. And when we were first opening back in 2012, some of our first franchise stores in Japan, we had customers coming in with their Honolulu coffee t-shirts on because they had been at our stores in Hawaii and were so excited we were opening up in Japan that they came in with, you know, being ready for, the, for it to be in Japan. So that's kind of a cool story. And then really it's led us into a partnership as well in Nashville, Tennessee with a Frothy Monkey Roasting Company. Mm-hmm. Again, they were a wholesale customer of ours and said, hey, wouldn't it be fun to roast here in Nashville? This city is booming. And we go, hey, why not? So again, started a new partnership there. And then through that, I met a girl in tea and fire pot tea,
which is happens to be our Allie's. She loves the fire pot chai tea.
Yes, I know. Allie's such a big fan of the chai, which is so cute. And it is a really fun brand and it complements what we do so much in coffee. So when I met Sarah, we were like, we have to build a tea brand together. Mm-hmm, so we connected over that, started fire pot tea together, and now have a tea bar in Nashville. But of course, when anyone's buying coffee, it makes sense for them to buy tea too. But tea is a lot different than coffee. And so one of the things we talk about all the time, it's like, you know, there's been this movement of specialty craft coffee and craft beer, and people are into craft beverages more than ever. But what is tea going to be next? And so for us, it's kind of an opportunity to define or redefine the whole American tea experience. So we're very excited about what that looks like over the
possibilities
next.
Are endless.
Possibilities are endless. So we're doing a lot of fun things with tea right now. We're having tea parties, representing different cultural experiences with tea across the world. We just finished up a tea segment on Morocco, but we're, again, starting to also figure out ways where if we're in Africa sourcing coffee, how can we work those relationships there and start meeting more tea farmers and buying tea from Africa and other coffee growing regions as well. So I'm really excited when I go to Rwanda here in November to do a little bit more tea exploration as well and figure out ways we can tell those farmer stories because just like coffee, they have their own stories and why they're doing what they're doing too. So,
well, it's going to be fun to watch the evolution of that.
Yes.
And I know you guys are on the tip of the spear there for that. Yeah. So that's exciting. Well, before we moved into something extra, I have to talk about goats.
The goat.
And so I happen to love goats. We just got our own little Nigerian dwarf goats. It's so much fun.
I can come to your house now and not go to Grant's Farm.
That's right. So. That's exactly right. And see our little goats. But you've got to tell the story.
Yeah. So there is a connection between Caldy's and the goat. People are like, okay, that's not someone's last name. No. So Caldy is actually the mythological founder of coffee. So the story goes that back in Ethiopia, Caldy was a goat herder and had his flock of goats and noticed every time they were eating these little coffee cherries that they would have all this energy. And
jumping around more than usual.
So they knew there was something special on that cherry that was giving them energy. So then Caldy, the goat herder, started eating the coffee bean himself. And that was the story of how coffee was founded back in Ethiopia. And even going back to this day, really some of the best coffees in the world are grown in Ethiopia. So it's really neat to make that connection. And you can go online anywhere and read the story of Caldy, but it's how coffee was founded.
It's just such a cool
story.
Yeah, so for our listening audience that doesn't know that story, now you know.
Yes, that's where the goat comes from.
That's where the goat comes from.
Yep.
So let's move in. I want to talk about something extra. Trisha, tell us about the something extra one of your team members or your team. You don't have to single one person out. But
I think the interesting thing is coffee attracts people that are passionate about what we're doing at some level. But I think what has been so inspiring to us, you know, maybe you love coffee or you love tea or you just love the thought of working in a coffee shop. And then you get engaged and you start truly understanding the impact that coffee and the supply chain has on a global scale. And it's amazing how those opportunities start opening up. And so for us, it's excited because it gets people there and they realize that it's so much bigger than maybe just serving that cup of coffee every day, but we're impacting lives. And that's pretty powerful. And so from there, what I've been amazed at is the people that we have that maybe start with us as a barista. And I can think of like five right now, since we're in Chesterfield at the Chesterfield store, that have gone on to either work in graphics or sales or roasting. And so coffee provides these career paths that might have just started with a job as a barista.
Sure, sure.
And so that's, I think that's neat. You don't get that in a lot of industries.
Right. So very good. Can you think of a time when there was something extra missing in you?
Yeah, probably every day. I'm missing something.
I know I am.
Let's see. A time when, you know, I think you get so busy every day, you know, and sometimes it's about bringing it back to the small things. And those small things are really what add up to the big things,
they
right?
They do.
And so it's how do I remind myself that I got to get back to the store and connect with every single team member there, because that's what's important. Those are the people that are interacting with our guests every day. And we're go, go, go all the time doing so many different fun things. You got to remember, you got to communicate that and the whys behind why we do what we do. So then people do make those connections to the real reasons why we're here and why we're passionate about what we're doing. And it's really improving lives through sustainable business.
Sure.
And so I think that's my thing, is sometimes getting back in there and just, you know, making sure we're connected with every part of the organization is really important. So
yes, the Japanese term for that is gimba.
Gimba, right? Yeah, back on the shop floor,
you know? I mean, really, that's where the action happens. That's where you see the customer experience and how they're experiencing and can make adjustments.
Yep.
But what is the something extra that you think every leader needs?
The sparkle. It's the passion. Because at the end of the day, we say, you know, we have a lot of managers or leaders say, hey, and really I learned this from my dad, so I have to give him the credit, but I see it every day now, is that, you know, we can't get up every day and motivate people. I mean, we have to be and surround ourselves with people that are self-motivated and have that sparkle and that passion. And that's something, that fire in them. We can create those opportunities and help try to get them to reach their fullest potential. But you got to have that sparkle and passion every day to wake up and know you want to make a difference. And
right.
I think that's important to surround ourselves with that.
While you can't always motivate someone else, it does rub off on people.
It does, yeah.
You know, it really does. It can trickle down.
Yeah.
So I could not agree with you more.
And
if you're not excited about what you're doing, why should your employees be excited?
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So. And so, you know, I got to remind myself sometimes, maybe you have a bad morning or the kids are a little on. And it's like, wait a minute, it could always be a lot worse.
Yes.
So mindset is everything. Mind over matter. And you know what? We're going to go out there and rock this day today.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I want to give you the opportunity to talk about something that's coming up. You guys and Technology Partners, we're both celebrating our silver. Is it the silver anniversary?
Yeah, the silver anniversary.
25th year of being in business. And you guys are doing something really special. And I love this. I love just your heart, Trisha, the heart of the company. Talk about what you're doing for your 25th year and how our listening audience can get involved and help.
We are very excited about our 25th anniversary, and going back to what was important to us is giving back to a community that's given us so much. And so how do we focus on St. Louis? So that's kind of where the idea started, and then going back to kind of our pillars of health, wellness, and education. And I'm on the board of trustees at Missouri Baptist, and so we thought it would be a really neat idea to set a goal to sell 25,000 bags of coffee. And for every bag sold, we would donate a dollar back to the Missouri Baptist Stroke Program. You know, people ask, why stroke? There's a lot of different things to think about when you think of hospitals and how they serve the local communities. But stroke's an important one. And I think the statistics are staggering, that one in four people will have a stroke in their lifetime. So it's about being proactive and knowing what those symptoms are and how to know if you're having a stroke.
Right.
It's not necessarily necessarily reacting to someone, but knowing what those symptoms are so that
so you can recognize it.
So you can recognize
sure.
it. And timing is everything.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And so we felt like it was very important. It's one of their focuses this year that we wanted to be a part of that. So that's kind of where Stroke came into play. And so we've been partnering with them on really spreading the word on how to be more proactive, but then also about where they can go and purchase the coffee mm-hmm. to help hit those fundraising goals for this year and for us to have just a small part in that. People drink coffee any morning every way. So if they would just buy this bag of coffee and even think about
the 25th anniversary,
blend
is what it's called.
That's what it's called. And we will be highlighting it between now and the end of the year at Schnucks, at Dierbergs, at all the Caldi stores locally, at the Missouri Baptist Gift Store. You can also order it online. But I also just want to encourage people if they have gifts they give around the holidays or they sit on corporate boards or are looking for something different to purchase this coffee as kind of a little way to give something back.
Right. And so we can all be a part of it.
We can all be a part of it.
We can all be a part of it.
Yeah.
So, well, I just love that.
Yeah,
I love
you.
That you're doing that. Well, Tricia, this has been such a joy.
Yes. I've had so much fun.
It's been fun.
And I feel like we've just scratched the surface on so many amazing things that to talk about. So thanks again for having me. And
well, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Our show today is executive produced by Brian Muncy. Our technical producer is Daniel Williams. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc. 2019. For show notes or to reach out to Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.